Everybody, welcome to Cow Daily. Start of a new week and all that. Lovely jubbly. Please do comment, rate, subscribe, all that good stuff. Also, if you could get your comments in, as I'm flying solo on this one, we're hoping to have Alice back tomorrow night, but I haven't asked her yet because I don't want to be prodding away at the ale. But get well soon, Alice, and hopefully see you back on here tomorrow night. Today's show, we're going to cover quasi-quarting, U-turn, Liz Truss, 45 pence top tax rate. Also, the Brazilian election. Also, we're going to touch on the strikes and demonstrations at the weekend, a bit for Mick Lynch, that kind of thing. I think today, for me, the thing was to try and like thin it down. So like anything that we don't get a touch on, we'll pull it forward until tomorrow, apart from unless Linton Crosby throws another dead fucking cat, never mind a tiger, on the fucking desk. So I don't know, but it was unbelievable the amount of potential, like, massive topics that would affect our lives that could have been covered today. If you want to know more about Linton Crosby and the dead cat thing, go to a previous episode from, I think it's a couple of months ago. Alice and I talk a little bit about that there and what we needed to expect going forwards. And here we are, exactly as we predicted. So anyway, please do comment, rate, subscribe. Go to patreon.com/cowdaily. That's patreon.com/cowdaily if you would like to support the show. Also, there's a link in the description to the PayPal if you would like to buy us a cup of coffee or help us pay the bills. That would be tremendous. Also, big up Rob Colley, new patron who signed up, I think, yesterday. So thanks very much for that, mate. Your support's massively appreciated. Big up yourself. Right, shall we start? Here's Kwasi Kwarteng this morning. This is a statement. From supporting British businesses to lowering the tax burden for the lowest paid, our growth plan sets out a new approach to build a more prosperous economy. However, it is clear that the abolition of the 45 pence tax rate has become a distraction from our overriding mission to tackle the challenges facing our country. As a result, I'm announcing we are not proceeding with the abolition of the 45 pence tax rate. We get it and we have listened. This will allow us focus on delivering the major parts of our growth package. First, our energy price guarantee, which will support households and businesses with their energy bills. Second, cutting taxes to put money back in the pockets of 30 million hardworking people and grow our economy. Third, driving supply side reforms, including accelerating major infrastructure projects to get Britain moving. That's Chancellor of the Exchequer, Kwasi Kwarteng. I struggle to keep a straight face getting through that, and also having to wade through that amount of utter bullshit. Talk about a praise sandwich, as they call it. Well, the meat and the shit's in the middle, but like, here's some bread around the outside. That means fuck all, but look at the bready hand. So it goes on, some reactions. RS Archer on Twitter, ever wonder what the motivation for Brexit was? I envisage there being absolutely no regulation whatsoever. No minimum wage, no maternity or paternity rights, no unfair dismissal, no pension rights for the smallest companies. That's Andrea Leadsom, former Tory MP. I assume that's around about the whole Change UK time, Brexit times. The reason I pulled this up is there was a headline that came out where businesses under 500 staff, there's a potential for a new law where they will be subject to no regulations. Now, I'm wondering if this wasn't just a dead cat that was thrown on the table by your man Crosby to get people talking about it, but thought I'd mention it anyway. What else we have? Also, it's quite a lot of the time with these arseholes, it's a case of look at the givey hand, look at the givey hand, not at the takey hand. Well, here's the takey hand from The Independent. Probably about 10 minutes after that Kwarteng press release statement, whatever you want to call it. In The Independent, Kwarteng confirms further cuts of up to $18 billion for public services. Budgets will not be topped up to take account of soaring inflation, the Chancellor says. Now, what that means in real terms is, well, it's austerity, what is it, 4.0 now? Who fucking knows? These fuckers are absolutely unbelievable. The public services are already bled down to the bone and they're still going to persist with this shit. like there was even quotes last week, right, from like people like anonymously coming out working in the city, and they're saying, yeah, well, we're going to benefit from X amount of thousands of pounds extra. Yeah, but what's the point if the country has zero public services and it's in the mess that it is, and it's only going to get worse? So even people at the top or higher levels of society are having a problem with what's going on. So it makes you wonder or speculate what the hell the Tories' game is. I've seen it argued that they're intentionally doing whatever they possibly can during this election, run up to a next election period, to just get as much money in for the mates as they can, because they already know they're knackered. The other one, which I am to favour personally, is I don't think this is the end of Boris Johnson. I think they've managed to complete clusterfuck to enable, and this is pure speculation, by the way. Speculation hat is on, speculation, just to be clear. I honestly think it's more likely than it isn't that Johnson's going to come back. Sounds outlandish, but here we go. Also look at his leaving speech, or so-called, where he references some fucking bullshit about like some Greek philosopher. Anyway, the upshot of that is like the guy he references comes back to save the kingdom and all of this shite. And that's what he thinks about himself. As a child, he wanted to be world king, and it's not over for him yet. So that's what I personally feel the more likely of those two outcomes are. But it doesn't mean they're mutually exclusive, because why let a good crisis go to waste? Who made money out of shorting the pound? We've also got Kwarteng as well going along to some champagne reception. But before we talk about that, in that independent article, it says, creaking public services face further cuts of up to 18 billion a year. Kwarteng has confirmed just minutes after his humiliating U-turn on the 45 pence tax rate. Budgets will not be topped up to take account of soaring inflation, the Chancellor said. A move described by economic experts is likely to have an extraordinary impact on the NHS and schools. So here it comes. We mentioned in last week's show that the attack, well, one of them, I think it was Friday's, the attack line coming from talking heads like Clarkson, etc., is the NHS, there's no magic money tree, and just attack, attack, attack. And that's obviously to manage people's expectations and manufacture consent for what is to come, which I would suggest is a big move on the NHS and just bloody everything. I've also heard from reputable sources that like there's people in the banking sector in Switzerland salivating at the next carve up and the next ability to make money, which is the NHS. We've covered on previous shows about John Armitage, Wes Streeton, the Labour Party, United Healthcare, and donations to the Labour Party. So if you want a deeper dive into this, go to a previous show and you will find it there. So just something I wanted to sort of pull up. There's a graph here from the Household Price Index, and it states, this was printed in Euronews, by the way, how UK and EU household electricity prices compare. The EU average has went up, obviously, since this cost of living scandal that's kicked in, but it's starting to level off, and there are caps being put in the EU. And as we've seen in France, the Macron government is fully nationalised EDF. You know, rational approaches, and I'm no fan of Macron, but that was a rational thing to do. The other line on this graph is the UK, and it is just parabolically growing, exponentially popping out of the top of the chart. Utterly ridiculous, the price per kilowatt for electricity. Wanted to point this out because these things aren't happening everywhere. Governments around the world are taking the piss, but the UK is beyond taking the piss to a crazy level. I mean, I spoke about this on a show in 2015. The EU and the reason for my vote for Remain, the thing that clinched it, was the protections that we would get in the event of this happening, a Tory government getting in, and them basically just ripping regulations asunder left and right. And here we are, brilliant, fantastic. What are we going to do about it, though? So again, I mentioned Labour. They aren't your friend. Here's Rachel Reeves, Shadow Chancellor of the Exchequer, and a quote from her from the not-too-distant past. We are not the party of people and benefits. That means Labour Party, of course. We don't want to be seen, and we're not the party to represent those out of work. So, lads and lasses, here it is, right? What are we going to do about it? The Labour Party aren't our friends. We know the Tories. They're always going to be the Tories. So what are we going to do about it? We'll come a little bit more into that later on. We've got like a clip from Mick Lynch and others as well. What I like to do, though, is take some of your comments. I put a post out on the Facebook page earlier, and there's some right here. I'll just slap up on the screen for you. Here we go. So Eleanor Gould is saying, the reporting on BBC entirely focused on the impact on business, nothing on the impact on the rest of us. Entirely unsurprising. I mean, the BBC, again, aren't we a friend, it would appear. Haven't got time to go into that, but maybe we'll one day. Debbie Bailey, not sure I personally think it's a drop in the ocean compared to what they could raise with a windfall tax on the oil companies that have made billions in excess profits and cap and bankers' wages and bonuses. It had the desired effect, though, of making billions by some of their donors through the shorting of the pound. It would appear so. Lucy F., it's fucking chaos. Or fucking, is that the polite way, Lucy? It's fucking chaos. That's all I'm thinking. It's like someone gave the work experience kid free rein at the moment. Indeed. You and Bruce, they'll be ordering a job lot of neck braces to prevent whiplash from the U-turns. Indeed, sir. David Livingston, trust does not yet realise why it was wrong. It's because she's thick as mince, and talk about the ultimate example of failing upwards. You would have thought it would have been the last Tory Prime Minister, but now they've excelled themselves. Yeah, she's clearly a placeholder. And I'm also looking forward to Alice coming back because she's got this item about her necklace, which is bloody funny. But also there's an element of rationalism to it. So I hope she comes back tomorrow and does that then. Toots truly says, so whatever the banks paid $65 billion for last week is now a loss to the country. Well then. Indeed. Keith Devlin, the actual tangible effect is minimal. The point of it was to send a message to the wealthy to say we're on your side and we'll govern in your interest. It's already served that purpose, so it's not the end of the world for them to reverse it and try and improve the general optics. Spot on. I'm inclined to agree with that, Keith. Last comment from this post, Alan Furr, if only they could U-turn on being the party in government and move over. Alan, I agree. I hate the Tories and I don't want them anywhere near government, but I'll be honest with you. I think I despise the Labour Party and the people who are in the people who are in control of the Labour Party more. My rationale is this. Tories be Taurying. We know what they are. Anybody who pays any kind of attention knows what they are and knows how to sift through the propaganda of it. But you can apply that same skill set to the Labour Party as we've been doing last week. So just a little interlude before the next section. If you want to know about what did we do last week? Talk about Apsana Begum, the Labour right, the Ford Report, there's a show for that. Talk about the Italian elections, Giorgia Meloni, her fascist past, and how it interlinks and how the conditions were shaped over the last 20 years, sometimes utilising the football ultras, specifically around the Lazio region, where she first gained an elected position. So go and have a look at that. Also, as well, what you've been amazing at, right, is putting some reviews in, which is helping we're like climb the charts. Reason we're asking people to do that is the CIA, the actual CIA, have started a podcast and they went straight in at number two. With your help and support downloading the show in the first week, we went up to number 11 in the charts, just behind Week in Westminster on Radio 4. But get this, I've just clocked the former head of the CIA has his own podcast on CBS News called Intelligence Matters, and we were two places away in the first week from overturning his dark empire. And so, good people, I ask you this. Will you go to open the Apple Podcast app? Number two, go to the icons at the bottom of the screen and choose search. Number three, search for Milk the Cow Podcast. Number four, click on show, not the episode. That's show, not the episode. Number five, scroll all the way down to ratings and reviews. Number six, click on write a review. Now, you can do that on Spotify as well. Both those links are in the description. Links to the YouTube channel as well. We're on the road to being monetized about a third of the way there, which is testament to your support. And thanks so much for that. So please, if you could go and subscribe on YouTube, leave a nice comment there. But Spotify and Apple Podcasts, man, let's overturn the CIA and bring down their dark empire for the ultimate Pyrrhic victory. But it'll be funny. And I guarantee we'll do the most hilarious breakdown of the crimes of the CIA over the years on here you've ever seen when we get over them. Oh, yes. So a few of the reviews that you've done over the weekend, which we're really appreciative of. An Antidote to the Mainstream Soma. This is from Ex-Loyal Reader. 5-star review. An incisive look at the world as it really is, not how we're conditioned to see it. Really appreciate that, my friend. And thanks for taking the time. Jogan Joji says, MTC says it how it is. My trusted source of news, doesn't pull punches, doesn't hide, doesn't use sugar-coated sound bites, just tells the truth, my go-to podcast. Big up yourself, my friend. And honestly, again, thanks so much for taking the time to do that. Another one from JCG. Always worthwhile. Great show, great to have you back. It's great to be back, mate. Nice to be well and just at it. Never shy away from the tough topics and always backed up with evidence and truth. Keep up the good work. Always trying to do the evidence bit. It's important, man. There's so much bullshit around that. Like, got to give everybody a fair crack of the whip. Some of your comments in the stream. Michael Sheldon says, Truss now has no credibility. She's totally clueless. Michael, I don't think she had any in the first place, but I think with the Tories, that wasn't even really the point. Robbie Robinson here. We have the same problem in Australia. Legislation given obscene tax cuts, wealthy are due to take effect in 2024. Hope he's get it sorted, mate, and big up the Aussies out there and all the Aussie family. Robbie says, government too scared to cancel them. Yvonne says, does anyone know a banker who they say is a personal hero? Then they would be devastated and weep if they quit Britain. No names or faces come to mind. They keep saying this, man. Just fucking quit. Quit Britain then. We don't care. Go away. We'll figure it out. You're an absolute scourge on the country and have been robbing us blind for decades, but certainly massively since 2008. You're blaggers and you need to fuck off. Joanne is saying, got you on loudspeaker by the pool. Are you back in Turkey again? You have more holidays than Judith Chalmers. You like absolutely disgraceful. So anyway, other things were occurring at the weekend. Tory party conference happened and with predictable results. What on earth the police were doing taking Rees-Mogg through here and not putting him in a car, I've no idea. But let's speculate. Let's get in the comments what you think they were doing.
Robbing from the poor to give the rich. Robbing from the poor to give the rich. Robbing from the poor to give the rich.
You lost my family member.
Rob from the poor to give the rich. Robin on the poor.
Let's go back.
Let's put a bubble on the door.
Possibly that part there.
Yeah, why do you have enough police around you?
It's not too late.
Yeah.
Mr. Moore, could you do accreditation ready to get in? Would that be all right, sir?
You won't be able to walk the street.
Bomb from the poor, give the rich.
Bomb
from the poor, give the rich.
So, on the council, if I could have what you did.
Thank you very much.
Bomb from the poor, give the rich. Bomb from the poor, give the rich.
That for me, right, obviously there's some of you listening to this on audio. When I listen to it audio only, it just sounds like this howling like echo of dystopian Britain. on a heckle side, my favorite one was the simple fuck you, like screamed viscerally at him. You're gonna, as you can imagine, there's like various like right-wing moody talking heads who are just completely up in arms about this. However, man, it was obviously some kind of set piece. Why on earth would you walk him through there? And it puts us in mind, right, of, do you know when Keir Starmer and David Lammy got accosted by, I think they were like anti-vax protesters outside of somewhere on the Westminster estate. And it just looked such a setup. It's like there was people coming out at that one saying, well, why did they walk outside? There's literally a tunnel between those two buildings. Like former members of parliament were saying this. Like in terms of a security thing, you wouldn't walk like somebody who's such a touchstone for hatred as Rees-Mogg through people who literally hate him. And for good reason. Like you've heard a guy like going robbing from the poor, giving it to the rich, and there was a lot of shaking emotion in his voice. Nobody knows what these people are being put through because of these fucking Tory arseholes who've been in government for 12 years now, and they're about to launch more austerity. And they're even going against what Boris Johnson had promised, which, you know, you can take that with a pinch of salt anyway, which was to make sure benefits rose with inflation. Like Truss was, I don't want to say hammered by Koonsberg because it was still soft soap as hell. And I mean, she's doing things when it's like safe to do so. She wasn't doing that during the Corbyn election period. But she gave her a little bit of a feet to the fire thing. And I mean, to be honest with you, you've just got to ask Truss questions and she'll crumble. And I would say that didn't make the cut today, but I suggest going watching Truss's interview with Koonsberg. It's absolutely madness. Just madness. Like, how on earth is this person the leader of the country? I mean, we've had some bad ones, but like I said a while ago, like, please let it happen. It'll be hilarious. And it still is, but it's also like bleakly dark as well. I'm sure you will agree. Some more comments coming in. Zoe's saying, the police antagonizing people, never. I mean, I know from the people who brought you like violently attacking the Sarah Everard vigil. I mean, who could have believed that would have happened? Joanne agrees. Surprised at that, Zoe. Indeed. Robbie comes in. What we got? Where is it? StreamYard, man. Get it on the screen. Robbie says, Italy, UK, US, Australia, etc. Right wingers want everyone else to pay for taxes for public infrastructure whilst they rob us blind, carpet baggers. Absolutely agree with your assessment, my friend. What else we got? James Summerson Hollywood says, nice hat. It is, mate, and it, like for the audio listeners, I'm wearing an RMT baseball cap. I just wanted to like support them in some way, and obviously I'm not a rail or maritime worker, so I went and bought a cap. You can go on their website. There's a shop section if you want to support them, buy a cap. This, believe it or not, only cost us £4. That's a bargain. That's it. That's what caps would cost you under communism, kids. But as you can see, nice cap. It's better for the colder weather as well. Nice thick one. So get yourselves stuck in and support the RMT. Aye. Ms. Gillum says, remember Rees-Mogg and his kid. I do. I don't know if he's trying to pass on a theorized public humiliation kink to his firstborn, because he seems to like really, really enjoy being humiliated in a public setting. All I can think of is they were just looking for that set piece so these ghouls can talk their shit. There was also another one on the same day, Michael Fabricant. Speaking of fabrications, there was a journalist, and I wish I could remember his name, but I can't, but I've got the tweet before he deleted it. And he was doing that thing, which, do you remember Matt Hancock during the election, where they were saying what, like, violent socialists attacked his aide and punched them, and Koonsberg and all that were saying this, and they were just fucking lying. Same thing, saying that he was pushed over violently. Michael Fabricant himself, got on Twitter and says, oh, no, none of that's true. So you've got to kind of grudgingly respect him. Maybe he's not somebody who's wig. Allegedly smells that bad, but there you go. That's him. Yvonne says, they wanted people to try and egg Rees-Mogg or throw plant pots at him to attack them. To surprise no one shouted, "You're a Victorian haunted pencil," and you know who you are, or there's or where's Wally? Indeed, mate. I'm surprised too. I mean, the thing is, like, there's not one person there who could have got to him. There was more than enough busies floating about, and it just looked really set up to me. But that's the dystopian world that is England in 2022. Please sign up to the Cow Daily mailing list. Take you literally 2 seconds. Put your email address in. When you've clicked the link, press send. Yeah, good. Most things are coming. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, please watch on the Cow Daily YouTube channel. Links in the description or youtube.com/Cow Daily. We're trying to monetize the channel, so the amount of watch hours is really important. Thankfully, thanks to your help, we've already got the amount of subscribers that we need. So now we need the watch hours. So if you could, when you say pop up, if you could subscribe on there, click the notification bell and just watch there when it pops up, that would be absolutely appreciated. Right, so next thing we want to move on to is Lula in Brazil. Now, I stayed up a little bit late last night, just basically because my pal's working over there. He works in the oil and gas industry. Yes, we can have friends who work in things that we maybe do not necessarily agree with, but I tell you what, he's more switched on than a lot of people out there, and he easily port over at oil and gas. Anyway, so after 99.96% of the votes counted, let's round that up to 100%, Lula has 48.42%. Bolsonaro, the far-right fascist, let's call him what he is, 43.21%. Now, from waking up and having a look at some of the analysis, the general upshot is that people projected through the polls that Lula would get over the 50% threshold and not have to do a runoff. That's not happened, obviously, as you can see. He's just below that threshold. So it goes to a runoff on October the 30th. Also, as well, it was that standard thing. There was somebody else who was centre-left, because that's all Lula is. He's centre-left. Bloody hell, they're going on like he's a communist or something. But I suppose, right, what can I say about the CIA here? Keep tuning in this week, because I'll work out what I can say about the CIA after we've done a bit more, and I'll stick it up on the evidence up on the screen. Before we do, though, Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker himself tweeted, Lula Presidente, Lula Skywalker graphics. Brilliant. Unbelievable that a high-profile American person is doing that. And just on that, it'd be really nice to see more people with a profile, wherever you are, across the UK and elsewhere, getting your asses on the protests and the picket lines and making yourself visible. We see the people who, during the Corbyn era, like, they signed up to it in 2017, and then 2019, you were nowhere to be seen. I mean, that's funny, isn't it? It's not like you talk, like, I mean, the likes of the Frankie Boyles and that, like, talking a good game, but when it comes down to it, aye. So this from PBS NewsHour. Brazil's former president Lula da Silva asks for calm after leftist officials killing. This was from July. So obviously, leading into the election, it goes on. Da Silva's plea this week reflects growing concerns among politicians, authorities, and voters about Brazil's presidential campaign and October election. The leftist leads all polls to return to the office he held between 2003 and 2010. But far-right incumbent Jair Bolsonaro has suggested he may not accept the results while urging his allies to arm himself. There's quite a bit of analysis coming out which says that Bolsonaro, and as you can see there, some leftist leader was already killed in July, that he's warming up his mobs to not accept the result. And we've seen that, and it's the January the 6th playbook. There's links between Bolsonaro, Bannon, Trump, of course, part of that international network that we touched upon when we talked about Giorgia Meloni in the far right in Italy when we did the show last week. Part of our coalition is Salvini, who is linked to Bannon too. We're going to have to do a show on this at some point because I keep referencing it and a lot of it links up. So it goes on. This is from Joanna Ramiro, UK. Check her out. Her analysis is this, and this was before the final results, but I think it's still valid now. This is starting to look bleak in as much as the election 2022 is likely to go to a second round, but also because a lot of the governors elected on first round are Bolsonaro supporters. This means that Lula might win on the second round, but that the possibility of political havoc is much higher. This is the reason why I was like WhatsApping me friend until 2 a.m. And I'm an early to bed person myself, early riser. So that was late for me. I'm doing this on about 4 or 5 hours sleep. He's, as I say, in Brazil. He's from Washington, the town, and we are. And we were legitimately talking about what his best escape route out of the country would be, because we were worried about it, a second round, and how leading into the runoff, there may well be political violence. It seems to me that they're already warming the ghouls up to not accept the result should they lose. And obviously we've seen that. I mean, we saw like before the Brexit referendum in the UK, Farage said in the days leading into it that if it was a few percent here and there, he wouldn't accept the result. It's just what they do. And if they obfuscate enough, I mean, they can potentially change the result, because quite often history is written by the so-called winners, and that's often the people who are with the guns. So a little bit of background here. This is from Brown University Education Library. The US government and the 1964 coup. This goes back to, I mean, people might not know, but like Brazil had like a fascist junta for many years. So it says in this article from the Brown Education Library, the US government, the 1964 coup. Phyllis Parker was a graduate student at the University of Texas doing research for her master's thesis when she stumbled across recently declassified documents at the Lyndon B. Johnson Library detailing US support for the Brazilian coup. She interviewed Lincoln Gordon, who ended up explaining the whole story, which she published in her book, Brazil, The Quiet Intervention. The US government and Ambassador Gordon feared a communist takeover of Brazil by Goulart, a politician at the time. Therefore, the White House and the embassy in Brazil tensely watched as the biggest country in South America veered to the left. Although Lincoln Gordon denies having any part of the coup of 64, it's clear that he played a significant role. President Johnson immediately recognizes the military regime as legitimate. So people... A lot of people aren't aware of the CIA's role in Latin America and, well, I say role, enforced fucking role, that is. I mean, we're going to do a show about this, so I'm going to keep me counsel about it. Also, it'll just be bloody funny to keep doing CIA content when we're trying to get over them in the channels. Please go and give us a nice review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Good people, subscribe to the YouTube channel. How funny will it be? But we'll keep turning the screw until we're black bagged and chucked at the Shantanamo Bay. Just joking. So what else do we have on this one, on potential coups? This is from Le Monde. Le Monde do some good journalism, French newspaper. I looked around for this stuff on the Lavo Giotto or Operation Car Wash. So it's to bring that sort of coup-related stuff and understand that the CIA... Now, I don't know if they're having... some analysts are pointing the finger at the CIA is having involvement today in the here and now. I don't have that evidence currently, but there is evidence, legions of it, of CIA interference. We also did a bit on that in a previous show recently where we showed clips of previous CIA directors saying blatantly that they have had involvement in the democratic process in other countries, and it isn't good involvement. Anyway, from Le Monde, Lavo Giotto, the Brazilian trap. From our archives, a magistrate judged to be biased, a team of prosecutors whose methods were sometimes illegal. The intervention of the United States and finally resounding scandal. Lavo Giotto has served many interests, but not democracy. Months of investigation, interviews, and research were necessary for Le Monde to set the scene behind the scenes. This was from March this year, 2022. Please go and research this more for yourself. It's around how Lula was jailed, but also how he was exonerated. When he was jailed, he had a 90% approval rating. In Brazil, 90%. He would have got re-elected on a landslide. So him being jailed set the scene for far-right Bolsonaro to be installed. Funny at the weekend that like fake president of Venezuela, what's he called, Garrido or something like that. Anyway, he put out a video in support of Bolsonaro wearing some kind of like fucking Venezuela like flag jacket or something. like we can look at the United States attempts to get him installed in power in Venezuela, which for now have failed. Oil being the common denominator. Anyway, moving on. Take some of your comments before we get off for today. Let's see what yous are saying. Right, Joanne is saying, honestly, StreamYard, stop jumping around and get this comment on the screen. Thanks for the instructions to beat the cow on the podcast. Mate, I think you mean the CIA. Let's beat them. Ah, you did. You went on to say so. What do we have? Tyrannosaurus, quality name. And also watching on YouTube, much appreciated, mate. I was speaking to a Brazilian lefty last night, and they said, I'm pretty sure supporters are going to go absolutely bonkers, Trump supporter style, and I predict a heavy wave of violence. Well, if that does happen, me pal's agreed to come on the live stream from Brazil and look out his window and tell we're all about it. The daft bastard's mad enough to go out in it. So let's see what occurs. Tyrannosaurus goes on, even more than now. Plus, if he loses, he'll claim fraud and make it near impossible for Lula to govern. Indeed. And as we've seen, I think my pal was telling us it's a couple of years until like the Congress elections and whatever. So even if Lula does get in, he can pretty much do fuck all for that couple of years based on the projected results here. Not great, but far rather have him in than not, because it'll be interesting to see how certain forces move against him, shall we say. So anyway, thanks for being here. Please do comment, rate, and subscribe. All that good stuff. Leave a nice review. Honestly, I think we can do this. And I'm cock a hoop with glee about that entire scenario. Let's get it, man. Like, together we can overturn the CIA and their dark podcast empire. And the people's podcast, yours and mine, can rise again. See you tomorrow, good people. Much love to all of yous. And stay safe, stay well. Much love.